All right, guys, on this episode, we have Steph. You know what? It's hard for me to pronounce your last name, but I'm going to try Parajamas.
So close. It's Parajamas.
Parajamas. It's not close. That's far away.
I feel like it's close, though, because everyone thinks it's like Parajamas.
Yeah.
Which would be really fun. And we were like, should we just change our name to Pajamas or something like that? Because it would be kind of funny, but it's Parajamas.
Parajamas. Parajamas. All right. So yeah. You're a therapist, right? In the relationship side?
You know, I used to be a therapist, okay. But so I have like my master's in therapy and I used to work as a therapist, but we've moved around so much that I've actually let go of the therapist track. And now I just focus on like coaching and I use my certified family life education and stuff like that instead of the therapy. So I no longer do therapy and instead I do coaching and hypnosis and just education and you know, really help people make plans of action to get towards where they want to go versus focusing on the hurt and the deep healing. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay, a quick question. So this is a side topic. So a therapist, are you licensed? So you have to be licensed in certain states or is it nationally?
Well, it's each state has their own licensing board and their own licensing regulations. And so it's very difficult because we moved from Arizona to Oregon to Oklahoma back to Arizona. So it's really hard to transfer your license to each state. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is just not really, you know, and it's expensive. It's really expensive to transfer, get your license, continue with it. So I was like, you know what? I'm already a certified family life educator, which surprisingly takes the same amount of hours of experience in creating your own programs and stuff like that to become certified as that as it does to become an independent licensed therapist. So I was like, you know what? I have this. I can bring this with me everywhere. And then I also went to school to add in hypnosis. And so I could be a hypnotist and really help people like get their goals and break through their limiting beliefs like right away. And so that's what I've been doing instead, because that can come with me anywhere. Well, not every state lets you do hypnosis, but you just can't say you're a hypnotherapist. So I don't say I do hypnotherapy. I just do hypnosis because that's what you have to say in order for it to be okay, because I'm not a licensed therapist.
Got it.
If that makes sense.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Just a quick bio.
A quick bio.
Yes. I think you covered most of it, but.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. A quick bio. Well, I love dogs, but I'm just kidding. So, well, I'm not kidding. I do love dogs, but I think the bio is always the most difficult part for me to do. So I guess I now consider myself, I'm a love coach. So what I really do is I help people better their relationships. So I figured why not use all of my experience, all of my education to help people really apply the tools to better their relationships and better their life. So I do that. I live in Arizona. I've been working in the behavioral health field since 2002. I've lived all over the US just to see what I like. And my favorite job that I ever had besides what I do right now is when I did AmeriCorps. I moved to Connecticut with just like one suitcase, never been, moved to Connecticut, did AmeriCorps, and I worked with inner city kids, like youth, working with teen moms, and then I did a group of just like education and life skills, and I only made like $600 a month, and I lived like literally in the not safe areas of Hartford, and it was the best experience ever, though. I loved it so much, and I'm so grateful that I had that. So I guess, is that kind of good for a bio?
That's really good. What was your favorite part of the U.S.?
Oh, you know what?
That you lived.
I loved, like, scenery and just the feel of the environment. So I love Bozeman, Montana, and I also love Portland, Oregon, but Portland, Oregon is way too expensive. And so that's why we left there, but it's so beautiful. And also the rainy season was hard for me there. Mm-hmm. But Bozeman, Montana to me is like a big warm hug. I just love it. But I feel like it was a little bit too small to continue to like raise my son there and all that stuff. So now I really enjoy, you know, what surprised me the most though, this is what surprised me out of all the places, Oklahoma City. It is surprisingly a fantastic city. It reminded me a lot of like northeastern Montana when I first went there, but then it just grew on me. Like there's barely any lines. There's really cute little parts of it. People are pretty friendly. So it was really, that kind of blew my mind. So
I what do you like mean by lines?
Okay. So let's say if you went to go to a store, even on Black Friday. Got it.
Yeah.
There's like no one out. So
lineups there. I got it at the stores. Yeah. Or, yeah. Okay.
It's so not busy.
I thought you meant like city line.
Oh, no.
There's like nothing there. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So most of my community is small business owners, individual or up to like 10 staff members. Right. So, you know, most people, when they talk about relationship, they talk about spousal relationship, friends and family. We want to chat on this one more about, you know, business relationship, how you deal with staff, how you deal with business partners, vendors, customers, clients, everything else. Right. So, in times like this, where most of the world's in quarantine, what's the best way of building relationship when you're not face to face, and, you know, Zoom meetings and FaceTimes are the new norm for this time? How do you build that, that trust, that longevity of relationship?
Well, I think that's a great question. And first, I love that you are considering relationships of like the workforce, the employees, with your coworkers, with people that you're going to be working with, doing business with. I think sometimes that's overlooked. And we think that it always has to just be like this even keel professional, like all of this stuff. And I think we forget that we could add like funness and some personality to it and just getting to know people on a personal level. So I know that you also love Gary Vee. Am I right in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you see how he said he was like hiring a chief care officer or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that concept and the idea of making sure that you care about the people you're working with, and like that has to be known. So I think when you're building a relationship with someone, if the other person feels like this is just, you know, a means to an end, like if they're feeling kind of used, I guess, if you just want to be blunt, right? If you're only approaching them because you're hoping to get something from it, then your relationship's not going to be as solid as it could be. So coming across as if you care about that person and you're interested in getting to know who they are and why they're doing the business they do. So if you're collaborating with somebody, what is it like? Why are they doing this? Where does their passion come from? And I think one of the best way to do that is ask questions. So, you know, when you started, like right away when we first started talking, we started with questions, right? And that's how you build your rapport and start connecting with each other. Also, have you ever read the book Captivate by Vanessa Van Edwards?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Just like Gary, I'm not a big reader.
Okay. Well, this one though is one that would be really beneficial if anybody did want to figure out how to build stronger relationships with people.
What's it called once again?
It's called Captivate.
Captivate. Okay. Oh, you got it. Nice.
I have it right here.
Okay.
It's really, really good. And so she basically gives you the hacks to connect with people and all of that. So one that's so simple, like let's say you're doing a video call such as we are right now. One of the first things you can do to just show, like she calls it, Vanessa says, I'm a friend, not a foe. And so you like have your hands, let them see your hands, because that psychologically lets you know that you're connected and you're safe. Right? You're not hiding anything behind your back. You know, they can see that you're safe. And so mentally you're like, oh, this is a safe person. I can trust them. It's just a nice way.
Just a hand.
Yeah. And so it's like, hey, how's it going? You know, when you first get on, because since we are doing all these things, we can't really read the energy as well as if we're in person with somebody, right? So our eyes are really going to be picking up on, and our ears, right? We're going to be paying attention to what do we see and what do we hear. And so we're looking for that body language. You know, we're looking for the tone of the voice. So I think all of those things are really important when you're meeting someone.
So one of the things that gets me confused, and I'm doing this right now, is I'm focused on you. Right. So I'm looking at your eyes when you're talking, but I'm looking at the screen. I'm not looking at the camera. So you don't see me looking at you. Right. And when somebody's chatting with me the same way, I'm like, okay, there's no eye contact here. And then I got to realize that you know, they're looking at me. They're just not looking at the camera. Right. So, you know, things get thrown off there as well.
You're right. Exactly. So even while I'm talking to you, I don't know if you can notice, but there are times where I'm looking at my camera versus you. So this is when you can kind of like, do you know NLP?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of when you can use that soft gaze of NLP. And so even though I'm looking at the camera, I can still softly see you down in the corner. So I know we're engaged still. Right. Yeah. And then when I'm not talking, I look at your picture.
Sorry to cut you off there. Just in case people don't know, NLP, neuralistic lingual,
neuralistic law. processing. So that's the end of it. So it's basically what it is. It's like mind hacks. It's a way for you to really tap into like the power of your brain, reprogram it, make it do what you want it to do, all that kind of fun stuff. So that's something that I always think of as just softening your gaze instead of like laser focusing on the camera. It's like a soft gaze because when you soften your gaze, it helps you take in more around you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a cool thing. So the other thing I was thinking about when it comes to coworkers and building relationships and meeting online, you can add some fun to it. So if you have to do meetings all the time, maybe you're like, okay, let's have a theme. So let's do a 90s theme or an 80s theme or, you know, Mad Men theme or something like that as we meet with each other online to just add a little bit of like humor or playfulness or lighten the load. Because also right now, everyone's really stressed.
Yes.
Not only are you stressed about, is your business going to make it? You know, what's happening? Or like, how long do we need to be closed for? How can we bring our business online? All of those type of things are going through us. So we're stressed. So sometimes it's nice to just add a little bit of playfulness to let that stress kind of, you know, take a break for a minute, just go to the side. And that way you can kind of connect with each other and, oh, be creative, like tap into your creative side a little bit different. Because when we tap into our creative side in another way, it helps us be more creative in our business, right? Because if we're just focused on, okay, we need to be really creative in the business. We got to make sure our doors don't close during this quarantine and the coronavirus and all of that. Then it's like, if you're focused on that so much, it's harder for the ideas to come, right? So we all hear those examples. If we held onto the sand too tight, you know, we lose it all. So if we're creative with the other ways that we can be doing our meetings and asking each other questions, you know, a fun question could even be, if you were the CEO, what would you do for a day? What would you implement? If you could be CEO for a day, how would you implement something? And what would it be that you implemented? Because this also gets you to know what's important to your employees, you know.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Also, I don't know if you've seen this, but have you seen people where they're like, you can pay to have like a llama join your Zoom call?
No.
Yeah. I mean, see, people are getting really creative.
Would you see this?
I think I saw it on Facebook, or I think I've seen it going around Instagram on little like ads or something, but it's literally like you can pay $100 for a llama to join your Zoom call. And I thought that is
See, so- that's a good business. Like, you know, when people are complaining that their business is not doing well, and there's, you know, people like this that going out there and testing this out, I like that. As soon as I get off this call, I'm going to actually look that up.
Yeah. And it's funny, right? Like, would you expect that? Also, if you just kept it a secret and you weren't telling anybody that you were doing it and they just like pop up.
Well, that's the way it's going to work, right? Just nobody knowing, you know, some llama or like a dog pops up or whatever.
Yes. Right? So I think there is this opportunity to also be really creative, get to know each other more. I think another thing that if you really want to get into it, the Captivate book I was telling you about. So Vanessa has you create like a matrix, and she does this for everyone in her life. And she owns a small business. And so she does this for every single employee or coworker that she has. And what it does is it helps you understand like what they value, what they like, their appreciation language. So you've heard of love languages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same thing. You want to know your coworkers' appreciation language, especially during, well, anytime it's really important, but when you're under a lot of stress, it's good to know like how do they feel appreciated so that you can make sure you're expressing that in their language so that they're feeling appreciated. Because sometimes we think the only way to appreciate somebody is through money.
Money, yeah.
When it can really be about, some people really want that acknowledgement, right? So back when I used to work at a treatment center, every single night before I went home, like it was so important for me to go and thank the CAs. So they're the clinician aides. They're the ones who, you know, help do all the other things so that the program can run smoothly and so that the counselors can work with the clients and all that, you know? And, I made sure to go in every single night and just thank them for their help. And if a situation happened where we had to call the police or anything like that, I knew we were going to come together as a team because it wasn't just like, hey, thanks guys. It was like, hey, you know what? The way you showed up when we had to call the police and a fight broke out, how you separated the clients, like that made all the difference. We need to always be doing that. So thank you. Do you know what I mean? Like giving more specific appreciation can really help people know what they're doing well, especially if it's their like words of affirmation is their appreciation language, right? Also other ideas that people can have. And I think this goes to why Gary Vee wants to have that care officer, right? Where he said, you know, kind of like stock what your employees are into and stuff like that. So if their appreciation language is gifts, you kind of know what to get them. So I worked for another place when I used to do, so I work for the suicide crisis line. And so if somebody, you know, wanted to kill themselves or kill somebody else, they, we would have a team go out and we would talk to them and have them, you know, change their mind basically on doing any harm to themselves or others. And this company, because any nonprofit, you know, has a limited budget, but they, every single year on your anniversary, they would give out tickets to the movies. And so, but you felt really good. It was like, oh, yay, I got like a little token of appreciation, which really felt good. And then another company I used to work for, they would have like a kudos. So every week when we would have our meeting, our company meeting to discuss the clients and what our, you know, action steps are, we would go over like if there was any kudos that anybody got and we would like read them out loud for everyone to hear. So, you know, there's all these different ways where you can be making sure that you're understanding the people that you're working with appreciation. And I think that's why like thank you notes are so important with like vendors you want to work with, stuff like that. Just doing that little extra makes it so you stand out and you build a deeper connection with the people you're working with.
Yeah, 100%. I get that. Another topic that comes up here is obviously within the small business or you know, whatever size of business is, you're gonna have staff. Now, if there's an argument between the staff, when does the leader step in? Do they step in, or if they do, when is the right time? Because I'm in a belief that it's better for them to deal with it. That's how more bond and trust is built. But there's going to be a point where somebody needs to step in. Can you talk a little more about that?
You know, I think that would actually be a great question that you're asking during the hiring process. So if there's a conflict, at what point would you want me to step in? I think because each person is different. So I can handle conflict. It doesn't bother me as much. Like I don't enjoy it. Like I get all sweaty and stuff, you know, during mm-hmm. conflict, but I want to address it myself. But I might have a coworker who is such a people pleaser and gets so uncomfortable with any conflict. They don't even know how to approach it. So I think some things is you could do a class for everyone to come to as part of the training process. Hey, this is how in our company, we want conflict to be handled. So if you do that so that you create the culture of their environment, what we want you to do is talk to each other about it first. And hopefully your coworkers care about each other. And I think that also comes from the top down. Are you creating an environment where you guys care about each other or is it cutthroat? Because mm-hmm. if it's cutthroat, they're not going to care if they're upsetting you, right? They're going to like, it is what it is. Toughen up, you know, like who cares if your feelings are hurt or if you're uncomfortable. And if that's the case, if it's cutthroat, then you might need to bring in the leader more, but I don't know that that's going to do much good, right? Because then what are you going to do? This is the culture you created.
Yeah, it's so, the top down. If the top is bad, then it's just going to flow down.
Yeah. But if you're creating a culture that where you care about each other, the leader very likely won't have to step in very often at all, unless it's like harassment or something like that. But if it's just a conflict and you're trying to figure out like, hey, you know, we had this deadline and I felt like you didn't do your part and I had to carry more of the project and that was really frustrating to me. That's when, if you're creating a culture where you care about each other, those conversations are going to be much easier to have because that person is generally going to be like, oh my goodness, next time, please let me know ahead of time that you're feeling like I'm not doing my part. so that I can step up and, you know, maybe we touch base a little bit more often during the project to see how we're both feeling and if we need to make any adjustments. And then it can be handled between the two, right? And then there will probably be some instances where you just can't figure out a way to compromise or work together, where you just might want to call in the leader for brainstorming solution ideas, not to come over and be like, okay, you do this and you do this, but more of like, okay, let's brainstorm some solutions here. What could be, you know, where can we go so that you're both feeling heard and you're both getting needs met? Like for an example, I had a coworker who was so rude to me, like literally scream at me in front of clients, everything. This is at the treatment center. And it was like, literally, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And so I would ask her in private, I would say to her, hey, you know, is there any way that you could speak to me a little bit different? Because especially in front of the clients, like I understand that they need to take their medications, but they have this much time to do that. And we were finishing this really important discussion. So, you know, in the future, I would really like it if you were more patient and would talk to me about this in private instead of yelling at me in front of all the clients. Because when you're in a treatment program, if the clients see that there's conflict between the staff, oh, that's like good manipulation ground. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to be a united front. And so that didn't work though. And I talked to her probably two or three times. Maybe I tried to talk to her about the way she was approaching me. And eventually I talked to her supervisor because it wasn't changing. And I was like, oh my gosh, something has got to change here. I don't know what to do, but this isn't working. And then that didn't do much. And so eventually we had to get the entire, like my supervisor, her supervisor, the supervisor of like the entire program come together and try to find a solution. And so it was unfortunate that it had to go that high. However, sometimes, you know, if one person's not willing to budge and the other isn't. However, the culture of that treatment center, the specific one that I was at, wasn't about caring about each other. It was very much divided. It was like the counselors versus the CAs and all of that stuff. So it just wasn't as
sounds like it. That sounds like from top down.
Yeah,
I don't think it was at the level that you guys were arguing or had the issue. I think that came from seniors downwards. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back and forth here now. When quarantine is over and companies have not built that bond, what do you think is the best way of building that bond when they're back at the office?
Well, one thing that I think can be really helpful is whether you want to do like team building. So I know you can hire people to do team building and you can do all sorts of crazy stuff, right? You can go on obstacles together. You can go on like drumming ceremonies or... I'm sorry, I'm not sure exactly what you would call that.
But yeah, I get it. Yeah.
There's all these different things that you can do with each other. So I think some things are maybe you have like your ice cream socials or whatever, just add a little bit of fun, that playfulness. Also truly understanding each other and like what makes them feel appreciated and when are they cared about. And if they have something stressful going on, hey, I know that at home right now, this stress is happening. Is there anything I can do to support you at this time? You know, is there an email I can answer for you? You know, something like that. Or one time, I just like to give these examples because I think it helps. So I had wrist surgery and one of my coworkers, I remember she was my supervisor and I couldn't type the notes as quickly as I needed to, you know, for documentation, you have to write documentation every day. And I just couldn't keep up because I had wrist surgery and I'm right-handed and I couldn't do it left-handed. So she was like, you know what? I'll write your notes for you. So you just let me know what happened and I'll go ahead and type up your notes. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's building bond right there.
Yeah. That was so helpful because it would have taken me forever to get them done left-handed. So I think there's these little things where we can just be kind to each other. Also, I know this is like we learned this in elementary school, but it's like if you're going to invite some of the coworkers to something, invite them all. You know, like if you're going to have happy hour, just make it an open invitation for everyone. Oops, sorry. I hit my microphone. For everyone to come to happy hour, especially if you're in a small company. Like yes. If you're in a huge company, it doesn't matter, right? As much, but if you're
bring in the department then, right? If it's a big company, bring the department. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But if you're in a small company, if one person is feeling excluded or two people feel excluded, that affects everything. You know, that's going to
point. Good point.
And they're not going to want to like promote your business if they're feeling excluded. They're not going to want to show up as their best when they're trying to make connections with.
Yeah. They feel like abandoned, vendors. Right? They're ready to go somewhere else. That's it.
Yeah.
Very good point. Because I see that like a lot of the businesses that I've dealt with over the past 15, 20 years is trades, blue collar workers. It happens there all the time. Right. We're, you know, just these guys here, we don't care about that person there and leave it alone. But, you know, that's when that other person just ends up leaving and becomes a competitor.
Yeah. And sometimes when we do that, we lose our highest potential worker. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like they have so much skill and so much heart, and all they need to do is feel a little bit of appreciation and feel included. And that's why the culture of the company is so important, especially when you're starting with a small company, because that's when you really get to get in all that goodness. And like, have you read Phil Knight's book, Shoe Dog? Oh, because you're not a big reader.
No, not a big reader, but Phil Knight, I'm a big fan.
Okay, so he talks about his culture, how it started. And what is so incredible is that even though he was the one who like started the shoes and all this stuff, the people who first came to work with him, I mean, they were working just as hard for that company and they were cared just as much, even though it wasn't their company. Do you know what I mean? But it felt like it was their company.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that all started from the culture, and they would have like these like team building meetings, right? But it was basically, I call it team building, but they would take like a weekend where they would just go and think. And I think like Bill Gates even has like think weeks, right? And so it's like when you do it together as a team and you let everyone share their ideas. See, this is the thing, somewhere along the line, I think a lot of us forget what brainstorming is.
Yes.
Brainstorming is literally just throwing ideas out there and you're not critiquing them. You're just receiving them. And so if you have your team come together and like you all get to brainstorm ideas, that feels really validating. That feels like you're contributing to a company. And the more you feel like you're contributing to something, the more passionate, the more harder you're going to work for it.
I think ego blocks a lot of this at the top senior level of companies. This is not my idea. Let's kibosh it right now. They don't want to take that that advice from their workers. And I see that over and over and over again, rather than, you know, here's a platform here. We're open for you guys to do anything, go and do it. And let's see what happens. And I think Google was really good at that. That's why a lot of, like Maps and Chrome and all this other stuff that came out was just pretty much test. I think Facebook had the same thing. They had the Friday night hackathons or something like that. And from that, like a lot of these other parts of the business created.
Yeah, I think you're right. Isn't it Google that has that whole program that's literally about just coming up with the wildest idea and seeing if you could make it happen? And they don't even care if money gets like nothing comes.
Well, they care now, right? That's why they had to split up the company into Alphabet, and then from that you had Google, and then you had like Google Ventures and something like that. I forget the actual names of it. So. Like glasses and all this other stuff went to a different company, but yeah, you're right. That's how people learn, is by testing and trying new things. And if it works and we can take this to mass market, let's do it. I think Tesla's another one. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk, right? He's going crazy, you know, once in a while here and there, but, same thing with him, you know, designing a vehicle that has next to nothing in it with no fuel and just cutting edge technology. It's great. And it's not him that's doing all of it. It's just his team that's open to do it.
Well, let me ask you, I'm curious, from like a guy's perspective, when you've worked for a smaller company or even a bigger company, when have you felt the best showing up for work? Like, what was it about that environment, your coworkers, that made it so you were like, yes, I love this job?
I haven't worked for somebody in like the last 18 years.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, close to 18 now, 17, 18 years.
Well, then in your own businesses, do you have coworkers or
employees? Yeah, I do.
Okay. So what do you think it is about your company that the employees like working for you?
Open. We're quite open and we give them opportunity to test and do stuff. And they're more than open to it. And here's another thing. If somebody does not like doing something, we don't ask them to do it. Right? Like, what do you like doing? You like developing. Okay, well, you're not doing graphics then. You know, we're not going to give you the stuff you don't want. What's the point?
Yeah.
Right? If somebody, like, for me, I absolutely hate writing. It just doesn't do anything for me. And hence, I don't do it. I'm in the mortgage business. I hate doing residential loans. That can get qualified at a bank. I just, it bores the hell out of me. I think it's the most boring thing in the world. I don't like it, so I don't do it.
Yeah, so then you're really letting people have their strengths and bring their strengths to the table, and really, and that's got to do so much for the environment because they're just feeling pumped every day. And
that's when it comes down to hiring, right? You know, what do we need? We need this. Okay, good. Let's go find that person. And if that person likes doing it and, you know, that's their purpose to do it and they love it, we know they're going to grow out of it. They're not going to like it later on, or they might like even more. We know things are going to change, but we allow them to test different things out and see where they fit even better.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, what's so interesting. So as I'm hearing you say that, this reminds me of in high school, I worked for a fast food company and I did the drive-through. Now I loved the drive-through. It was super fun for me. And I was also like super duper cheerful. So I really enjoyed it. And the thing is though, the only way you could get a raise was if you learned how to cook. However, they would never take me off drive-through. Like, I didn't get to do any other position besides drive-through because that's where I flourished, right? So I remember the owner one day said to me, you know what, Steph, don't tell anyone else that I'm doing this, but I want you to stay in drive-through, and that's not fair to you to not be able to, you know, learn the other skills and to get the raise that comes with it. So I'm going to give you the raise because I want you to stay in drive-through because you're so phenomenal at it. Like, I get calls about how much people loved their experience of coming to get food today because of how nice you were. So I'm going to just give you the raise and keep you in drive-through. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that to me, I mean, that was how many years ago? Like 20 some years ago. And I still remember that. And I can still feel like how, like, I didn't even know that. I didn't expect it. I didn't even think that was a possibility. But how you're saying, like, I wasn't punished because, you know, or I wasn't like, oh, let's put you on a cook. The company wanted me to stay in this position. I love the position and they rewarded me for it. So
that's a good thing. Hopefully that company changed and has been seeing that, because like when you're the pro at your position, right? You're the specialist in that position. It's like a doctor, you know, the heart surgeon and you know, whatever you're specializing in is always going to be paid more because you specialize in that one thing versus a general doctor, general practitioner, or, you know, whatever they call them. Yeah, general doctor.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I didn't even think that they should probably change their policies, but that makes so much sense. Like, they should just see where they are and where their strengths are.
A cook's a cook. They're creative.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not creative at all. Don't put me there. I'm good with people.
Exactly. I was going to say, maybe not everyone should be a cook.
Yeah. I have no passion doing that. Like, I enjoy it on the weekends. Right. I just like how it turns out. Like, okay. And I'm testing stuff, but you know, if you give me a position there, I would pick customer service and talking to the clients, rude or happy, doesn't matter to me. I just enjoy talking to people.
Yeah.
Where fit. Here's another one. This is just something that I've been kind of on Zoom calls with other people and chatting with other people. Now, spouses, mm-hmm. right? Married couples, right? now with quarantine, a lot of them are working from home.
Yeah.
When they're working at their work, you know, they always had time apart. Then they come home. Now they wake up together. They're working pretty much side by side. One might be on a different floor, but you know, with Vancouver and the housing price is so high. These guys are living in a condo, one bedroom, and it's, you know, they're seeing themselves. They're seeing each other all day long. How does one handle that?
Well, I think that is a really, really good point, is that there's so many different statistics out there, but basically people are spending, like you said, way, way, way more time together. Like it's, for some, it's doubled, it's quadrupled, right?
So yeah, some of them, yeah, like 3-4 kids that they have to, you know, teach as well.
Right, because everyone's home. So not only do they have to work from home, like both of them have to work from home, they have their kids that are also supposed to be doing school and all of this stuff. So it's very stressful for people. So I think one of the first things to do is to figure out, sit down together as a couple or as a family, and what is your goal during this time? So what do you want your family to look like? What is the goal? So just like with anything, if we have a goal, it gives us an idea of what we're moving towards, and it helps us kind of self-correct our behavior and our expectations and how we're showing up, basically, right? And what we're expecting from everyone else. So also take off some of the pressure, right? This is a unique situation. It's not one that any of us have experienced before, really. I mean, around our age group, like, you know, so it's definitely something where you have to take the pressure off. And instead of expecting it to be perfect, instead of expecting your kids to like be pumped about doing school at home and all of this stuff, right? It's how do you guys connect? So how are you going to start your day and how are you going to end your day? And what's like a good thing you can do in the middle? And so maybe your kids, you know, get creative with the way they're learning as well. Instead of having it be so structured, like right now, my kiddo, he's 7 and he likes watching Dream Island on YouTube, which don't judge me on that.
I don't even know what it is, but I'm going to look it up.
He really wants to learn how to do his own videos, like make his own Dream Island videos. And so even this morning before we got on this call, we were looking up this animation software. And I'm like, that's learning. That's what he's into. Let's take the stress out of it and let him kind of pick some of the things he wants to put his attention into. Also, we've been doing like family stuff to release our energy, de-stress a little bit. So first of all, start with your goal. What do you want your family to look like? What's your goal of your family? Is it to be closer? Is it to feel like you guys support each other? Or is it to grow apart? Most people are going to want to grow together, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to destroy their relationship or their family or feel hurt and frustrated all the time. So then the second is de-stress, which includes taking off the pressure. And so one thing we do with our kid too is we'll jump on the trampoline. We go for a walk together in the mornings before it gets too hot because we live in Phoenix, so it's pretty hot right now. So we go for a walk in the morning. And this, now I would say go out whatever you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable going outside, going for a walk, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But maybe you could go in your backyard. Maybe if you live in a small condo or a small apartment, maybe you have a patio. You could go on and like wear your mask if you need to. Do you know what I mean? Do mm-hmm. what will help you feel comfortable, but get outside in a way that feels like you have a little bit more space and you can release some of that energy. Like maybe do like some exercise together, whatever that looks like for you, just move your bodies. So we did a water fight yesterday and we asked our neighbors if they wanted to join us. And basically what we did was we threw water balloons over the fence. Oh, we have like a brick fence.
Yeah.
So we couldn't even see where each other were at, but we're just like throwing water balloons. And then they have a trampoline and we have a trampoline. So the kids were on the trampolines throwing water balloons and then they got the hose and they're spraying each other. But that was really fun. And mm-hmm. it was just a way to completely de-stress. And I think also stay, you know, like informed, but don't spend your entire time watching the news or having, I saw someone have an alert on their phone that like alerted them like how many cases and how many people died. And I was like, oh, and their kids were right there when they had said the alert. And you could just see the panic on the teenager's face, like what? You know, so I think that just causes more stress. So if you want to know it, keep it informed, but you don't have to share it with everyone else around you, especially your kids. Right? Like part of our job is to, you know, protect them from more stress and we can be real with them and we can let them know a little bit of what's going on, but we also don't have to put it on them, if that
makes sense. That's the biggest part of a parent's job.
Yeah.
Make sure they're loved and safe. That's pretty much the only two things.
Yeah. So it's definitely one of those things where I think, you know, this is also a great opportunity to teach your kids and yourself and your spouse what to do during difficult times, right? Because this isn't the only difficult time we're ever going to experience in our lives. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue to happen. And how great would it be if we took this as an opportunity to grow ourselves, to grow our relationship, and grow our family's ability to handle difficult times? Because, I mean, this is one of those perfect opportunities to do that. And how mm-hmm. do you also handle stress? And how do you handle your frustrations and your anger and when you feel irritated and when you feel you need more? So this is something else that I've been talking about that I haven't heard somebody else mention. So I think it's important is if you're with an extroverted person and an introverted person in a relationship, this happens a lot. What happens is that introverted person needs some me time, right? They need to have downtime to recharge and de-stress. It's literally, do you know anybody who's introverted?
Mm-hmm, lots.
Okay. It literally feels like in their body, like this is how, I mean, I'm extroverted and introverted, so a little ambivert, right? But some people who are like really introverted, their like body starts to feel irritated when they don't get that time to like decompress. Like it's like, right? And then that shows up in how they're behaving and acting and then all that frustration. So what will happen a lot of times is in a couple, if one's extroverted, one introverted, the extroverted person will say, at just like a random time, hey, why don't you go take some me time? And the introverted person is like, oh no, I'm good right now. You know, like I want to spend time with you or the family or do this activity. And then later when they need the me time, when they're feeling that like vibration of I need me time, the extroverted person's like, oh, I already offered it to you and you said no, so now you don't get it.
Okay.
Right. And then it's like, exactly how your face, right? It's like, what? But I need it now. So part of being in this together is to support each other, right? And so if you, because think about if you're an extroverted person and you're with an introverted person, how many times has that introverted person shown up to you for an event, a party, a get together, an outing that they would have been perfectly fine to never have gone to, but they went because they wanted to support you, right? And be there for you and have you enjoy it. So this is your way of supporting them. Support doesn't always have to look the same to be effective. So to support them, it's like, okay, so they're saying, I need some me time. Help them figure out how to get that. So if you're in a one-bedroom condo, that might be pretty hard with a family, right? To be like, okay, go for a walk or go sit in the closet, do something. You know what I mean? Go to the bathroom for a few minutes. You know, figure it out with them, but then help support them get that time. And I think also as an extroverted person, then like you're probably going to want some time to do your Zoom calls or Zoom happy hours or play your games online or all of that stuff. And so I think it's allowing time for everybody to have a little bit of what they need and the kids too. The kids can't just expect to be at home and like be super well behaved and sit still and, you know, not rock the boat. You know, let them be kids and let them play and figure out what kind of messes they can make and, you know, stuff like that. So I think all of that's really important to just like know the people you're with and how can you support them through it in a way that builds you guys up instead of tears you apart.
I like that. Yeah, that's a topic most people don't talk about is the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm extroverted by far, but I need me time. Right. Yeah. And I don't need me time every single day. At least once a month, I would take it.
I love that. You're like one time a month, 2 hours.
Actually, you know what? Honestly, I need me time twice a year.
Okay.
Usually for me, I'll take it New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Not the whole day. I will take, I don't know, from like 3 p.m. to like 7 p.m. before, you know, start heading out or, you know, whatever plans it is. So I'll take those 3 hours or so. And I'll just reflect on the past year and what I need goal setting for going into the next year. So that me time. And then I'll take my birthday as well.
Okay.
And that's just, it's me time. And that day I usually take, I haven't taken the day in the last few years because of work. But before I used to, but you know, now if I get a couple hours and I'm happy. But yeah, twice a year deep. And then every once in a while I need some me time.
I love that though. And knowing that about yourself, but being in a relationship that allows you to have that and honor that is so, so important. And so I think part of this, if you're both at home and you're working, whether you have kids or you don't have kids, setting up a schedule so that you know where you're going to work, when your working time is, when are your breaks, when is your lunch, all of that sort of stuff. And here is something that I think is important to remember too. So just because your partner's working, that does not count as me time, right? That's not their me time. That is their working time. That is, they're not being creative and enjoying like their life creativity. They're focusing on their job, and which is not me time. So I know like I stay at home and my husband works. And so if he was working from home, I would be tempted to be like, well, you don't give me time because you've just been working all day. Like now it's time to hang out with me. But it's also, well, if I want him to be the best he can be, he also needs time to recharge when he needs it. So maybe that's part of your schedule is, well, when you like, this is when we can have me time if we need it or if we want it, or are we going to just say, okay, I need me time now, like wave a little flag and this is my, I, like, and then you just support it at that time. So come up with a plan together about what me time is going to look like and figure out how it'll like support that person in the way that is actually going to recharge them, you know?
There's work time, there's me time, and then there's us time, right? And that's the breakdown. There's probably more than that. There's kids time too. There's a lot of other friends times, but you know, work time is not me time, and it's not us time. It's different time. Last question here. Now, we're talking about business relationship. We're talking about relationship with spouses and staying home. There's a lot of people. I'm not sure what numbers they are, but there's probably millions of people, tens of millions all across North America that are single times like this, and they've been quarantined and alone home. Any advice for them? Because I think a lot of them are going through some tough times right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. So I think one of the things that if you're single and you're at home, this is such an incredible opportunity to build your relationship with yourself. So maybe something you could do is write yourself an experience list of all the experiences you want to have. So, and on this list, you can do, maybe you want to read like all these books or something, or you want to watch all these shows. You want to Netflix the bananas out of this quarantine, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, but include free things, include things that are going to feel like luxury, things that you could do in a day, things that'll take weeks, you know, just like put everything you want to experience on that list. And then start, like, make it fancy if you want to. You can make it like a vision board if you wanted to, you know, however you want to do it. And then start planning out, like, how can you actually do some of these things? And, you know, take time to also, like, would you want anyone to come with you? How's this going to look? Because sometimes we wait to do really great things for ourselves. We think, oh, when I'm in a relationship, I will do these. No. You have a relationship with you, my friend. So Start doing these things now. Also, let yourself just do, like, so one thing I like to ask myself, and I think if you're single, you can do this, what would feel good for me today? So if today feels like, because a lot of people also have been stressing out about like gaining weight or not doing anything amazing during this time. So I think it's like, what feels good for me today? Would it feel good to just sit and like Netflix and binge after I did my work today? Or would it feel better to stretch or go for a walk or get on a Zoom happy hour? I think connecting with people, maybe you learn something new during this time, and maybe you have like meals over Zoom with people, you play games online with people, you know, you could buy a game for yourself and then send the same game to a family member and play together online, like play Battleship or something, play some of those sort of games that will help you feel like you're still connected. And just know that this is another opportunity for you to really work on the stuff that you've been waiting to work on.
Yes.
And now it's here for you. So don't think that you have to come out, like you have to like change everything over. But if you just take one step forward in the direction you want to do, if you just do one thing for yourself that you've been waiting to do, then that is just helping you grow and building your relationship with yourself. And I think that's really important to take this time to just dive into you.
Steph, amazing, amazing call. Thank you. Appreciate it. So much value here. How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for what you said. You can get a hold of me. Well, my website is beautifullychanged.com and I'm on Instagram a lot. So at beautifullychanged on there. Otherwise, my website is a great place to.
And let us know about your podcast.
Oh, my podcast. So yes. I have the Beautifully Changed podcast, where basically it's just a bunch of tips on how to better your relationships. I also have people come on. I'm kind of tweaking that a little bit, but I have a lot of guests who have come on to share about how they help people as a resource. I want people to know all the resources that are available to them for whatever issue or whatever they're trying to work through. Also, I mean, it's just a place to know that you're loved and that you can make it through whatever it is and you can create the relationships you want to have.
Awesome. Thanks, Steph, for your time. Appreciate it. All the best during this quarantine and offline. Let's keep in touch and see what we can do together.
For sure. Thank you so much.